Hello, everybody, and welcome to the March 2017 Q&A episode of Weekly Manga Recap, where we're going to question answers and...
Oh, shit, we could be like the question from Justice League? Well, I mean, only the cartoon.
What he did?
He questioned everything. He was the question. It's what he did.
Well, he was a conspiracy nut, I remember that.
Yeah, and that's because he's like questioned everything.
I thought you were going to go into some sort of, like, answer every question with another question kind of territory.
Oh, yeah, so I'm being, like, obtrusive to this podcast. Like, how was your day, Chris?
Right.
I'm like, what kind of day did you want me to have, Nick? What kind of day were you expecting me to have,
Just what is a day? And how do you define how good it is?
Yeah, like, forget it. I don't want to deal with this anymore. Can we just get to the Q&A? Is that what you want us to do? Get to the Q&A? Why is that, Nick? Is there something happening in the Q&A that I should know about?
Has this conversation taken a direction that you're uncomfortable with? Yes, you being in it.
Yeah, why am I still here?
Podcast canceled forever.
I'm like, wait, no, I didn't get a chance to respond to that question.
That was the question. That was my middle finger going up.
My gimmick!
He is a great character in that cartoon, though.
He is. It's the only thing I know him from. I think he's a woman now. What? He's not a woman. I think it's a woman who plays the question.
Yeah, in a New 52, Renee Montoya took over the role.
That's it, Montoya. I was trying to think of what the name was. I was like, I think
he had a very dramatic death in that series.
Oh, that's a shame.
Basically, he got sick and died, but it was super dramatic because nobody wanted him to die.
Oh, that's so brutal.
It was really bad. And who knows what the hell is going on with, cause God, I don't even know what the hell's up with DC Comics anymore. I stopped paying attention when they reset part of everything.
I was like, didn't they just reset the reset though?
Yeah, it's, so.
Every so often I'll watch like a video on YouTube that tries to explain what's happening in comics right now. Mm-hmm. And like the gist of it I kind of get is I guess they're like, yeah, we reset the universe. But the new Superman sucked too much, so they killed him and brought the old Superman from the last universe into this one.
Jesus Christ.
And he's like the one anomaly in that universe. Like him and the Lois Lane are like the only Lois Lane and Clark in that universe, I guess. Except I think maybe the other Lois Lane is now Superwoman. I can't understand it. It's all like nonsense to me. And I'm like, well, I'll just enjoy the TV shows. And I'm like, oh wait, Flash is in Gorilla City. This is all nonsense.
All the people I follow on Twitter who are, you know, into comics are always like, whenever there's a big change, they get very cynical and are like, they're just going to retcon it. They just wanted to sell some issues. Nothing ever changes in comics. It makes me kind of think, like, how many manga can you think of where, like, a big change happened and then they retcon it immediately? Because, you know, there's no red tape, you know,
yeah,
with manga. It's usually just one creator or one very small team that does stuff.
Well, it's also
sometimes stuff gets very poorly received right away, I guess.
Well, the big difference is that manga doesn't have to sell by the single comic. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's not as though if Bleach is doing Shonen Jump's not going to be like, hey, you need to like do something crazy to pick up a thing. They're like, hey, the magazine's still selling well. You should try to raise your popularity. So, I think there's a lot less of a need to do something drastic just to pull in people.
There's no changes that are handed down from a higher authority like there are in comics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's no, was it Ike Perlmutter or whatever his name is, who for a while was kind of known as being the dude that was kind of like, hey, let's stop giving these roles to the blacks and women, right?
Seriously?
He
did that?
I'm paraphrasing a bit, but he's known for not being the most progressive guy. Now, that is to say, Marvel Comics right now has become one of the more progressive, I guess, of the big two, I guess, it's a little bit more progressive in having a bigger diversity of heroes. So,
mm-hmm.
his concept, and I don't know if he ever put the editorial mandate down of like, no black or superheroes or whatever, but I've heard that he's had less than, I think it was the quote when they changed Don Cheadle or, Terrence Howard to Don Cheadle. They're like, mm-hmm. don't you think people care? He's like, nah, nobody will be able to tell the difference.
Oh my God.
It's like, he's also super cheap. Apparently, like at a Marvel events, he was like, when they premiered Iron Man, he was like, one soda per journalist. One. It's like, all right.
Good Lord. Anyway, we asked you guys a question last time. Just gonna get right out of that.
Yeah, I, I guess I technically asked two questions. The first being, because it was right after the Super Bowl, who would be the New England Patriots of manga?
Mm-hmm.
And the second question I asked, who are your favorite bromances? Because it's February, and I was like, let's do something a little bit different. I should not ask questions of that nature again, because we got very little answers on that. The only answer we got as to what manga would be the New England Patriots shows up from Andrew McKitty, who said One Piece, which makes perfect sense.
Makes sense.
Long-running, very dominating in terms of, like, sales and popularity series. And as for the best bromance, this one, I don't even know if it counts as an answer. Someone just linked back to the channel, working at Channel Awesome video that Benzai did. Where, I mean, it's a lot of stuff. It's Benzai slamming into that chick in the goggles' boobs. I think it's me interviewing Benzai to work at Channel Awesome, and he starts doing the helicopter, sumo ninja stuff. I was so fat back then, I can't watch this, but it brought back some memories there.
There was some good stuff, good things that came out of that that big meetup.
There's a lot.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to determine, like, which part in that would be, like, the top romance exactly.
Yeah, I was like, I chose to for myself. I was like, it must be me and Benzai, because that's where we started being friends.
Oh man, if I know anything about the relationship between you two, it's built on
it's built on the
mutual respect and not insults.
It's built on the solid foundation of the time we spent together that first anniversary. Not me chasing Benzai, him eating shit and complaining about his bruise.
Can't catch me, fatty.
Oh, it's still here a month later. I'm like, well, get good, Frenchie.
God.
So I have a different question this time. And this is actually going to connect to my question to you as well.
All right.
So, I will throw this out there for our audience first. And I'm going to say, one thing I'm taking a real big interest in recently has been documentaries. And I think I posed this question on Twitter recently. I was like, has there ever been like a documentary on like manga artists? Because just knowing what I know from Bakuman and everything like that, I'm like, that would be a really interesting profession to see a documentary on, because I think it's something that a lot of people, especially those who don't
like going into someone's studio, and they have the paper strewn everywhere, hard at work, and eventually they just kind of like curl up and sleep in front of their manuscript, camera's still rolling.
But that's like why I think it would be an amazing documentary, because you're like, you don't understand how crazy overworked some of these people are. So I asked about that, but my question then to our audience members is, if you were to create a documentary on any part of manga, whether you want to be, I'd want to see a documentary on how Oda lives, or if you were like, ooh, no, fictionally, I would love to see like a documentary on Impel Down and going through that. So it could either be like a, you know, a real documentary regarding the manga world, or an in-universe documentary of something in manga you'd love to see, like a in-universe documentary of. Shoot that over, and I'd like to really see your answers. To you then, Nick, I was going to say, what have been some of your favorite documentaries? Or I guess, first question, do you like documentaries at all?
In general, I find documentaries to be boring. Oh. Just because, like, there are some stories that are absolutely fascinating, but I don't know, there's something about the way that they're done that doesn't really grip me. I don't know. If I'm going to watch something, I don't want it to be like real, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of a desire for escapism, I guess, that drives it. There are definitely some reality series that rule gets broken completely. Like I got hooked on Hell's Kitchen for a while. After you mentioned The Mole, I marathoned that first season and was like, this is amazing.
That sounds great.
Documentaries, oh god.
There are some really
There
good
was
ones
one that I went out and saw specifically, because I went with a few of my roommates to go and see it. It was Bill Maher's Religulous, where it's actually a really interesting thing, and there are some interesting points that he has to make, but the more I've learned about Bill Maher, the more I realize that all of his stuff is the same, which is just him being a smug prick about stuff.
Yeah.
So that's kind of ruined that for me.
Some that I've seen that I love. I talked about the Berkeley Marathon before, which is, I think, might still be on Netflix if you want to check that out. It's about this crazy marathon that people run that's like 100 miles through this course that's specifically designed just to kind of be antagonistic and fucked up. But another one that's really good if you ever want to watch it is, I think it's just called Wiener. And I know it's not as dirty as it sounds. It's about Anthony Wiener.
Right.
And it was filmed initially as he was preparing his run to be, I think he was running for mayor of New York. And this was after the first scandal, and he'd kind of recovered.
But before all the others.
that's the thing. Like, this was kind of built and framed initially as going to be a documentary that was going to kind of show his rise back to the top.
Right.
And film it. But then the other scandals happened midway through the documentary, and it continues showing it. And it's mind boggling to watch, because he's like interviewed at points. And you don't, like, he'll clear his entire cabinet out of the room. Like, everybody get out. Just me, my wife, documentary crew can stay. It's wow. Like, he goes over this stuff. And he has answers to questions. People are like, so how many people do you, how many, instances of contact do you think you have with other girl, women out there? And he's like, well, it depends on, you know, what you'd consider contact. I mean, it's kind of a nebulous term. You know what? And he's like, you know what? Probably like 12. It's like, wait, you had two horrible answers? Why would you do that? It's technically spoiling, I guess. It's a documentary, but the ending alone is the most amazing moment you'll see. Cause it shows how he loses the race. And you can see like how it just crushed his wife, who it seems like was kind of only staying with him for the political move that this would be. Like, all right, at least my husband's going to be mayor. You know, I'm like a prime supporter of Hillary Clinton, so that's going to be good for her campaign. So they lose.
Yeah, there was a lot of fallout during the election over, like, investigations with her and him.
So. Yeah, and it's him staring at the TV with this happening as, like, the wife's in the background, like, probably already filing divorce papers, just Anthony Wiener staring at this television. And the guy behind the camera, God love him, is like, why are you letting us film this? And it's just Anthony, and it's Anthony Wiener, and he's like, I don't know. And that's credits. And it's like, what the fuck?
No follow-up to that.
It's like, he let us film all of this. He didn't say no. He didn't stop us. It's mind-boggling.
Literally, the director just got to the point where he was like, I can't believe that he doesn't want privacy at this point.
It's like, why don't you just tell us to leave? Why are you letting us do this? I don't even know.
Oh, God. Considering this, I don't know, considering his general attitude about putting himself out there, that's not, if there were a person that wouldn't be camera shy, I guess it's him.
Yeah, you know, but it's like, I mean, it feels like a leap between like, hey, I'm going to be pretty forward about sending out my junk to people, and hey, yeah, please film like the most personal downfall I'm ever going to suffer in just excruciating detail.
I guess the thing about documentaries is it would have to be a story that I'm already fascinated by.
Yeah.
In order to get me to, like, if I hear like, oh, there's this great documentary, like, what's it about? Well, see, this thing happens. If you have to tell me what the documentary is about, then I don't want to see it. If you tell me it's like, it's about this, and, you know, you say it's like, oh, you know, it's about the O.J. Simpson trial. It's like, okay, sure. You know, if it's about that, it's like, okay, maybe I'd be interested in it. You know, but, anything is like, well, it's about this, you know, this one story about this thing. You might not have heard about it. It's like, no, don't care.
Oh, there's a lot of,
it's like learning.
Oh man, this is shocking to me. This is like the inverse of how I felt Nick would be. I thought you'd be all over it.
No.
That's fair enough, though.
My question to you is something that's probably completely different. I've just been seeing, because I'm really envious of people who, like, you know, play video games, like, regularly, because everyone has just been playing Breath of the Wild for the last week, and it looks really good, and I want to play it, but it's like, I don't want to invest in a freaking system in order to play it, though, because I didn't even get a Wii U. So I'd have to get it either a Wii U or a Switch in order to play. It's like, no, it's not worth it. So I'll just wait a long time for it to come out, for it to be way cheaper, and then I'll play it. Yeah, but it reminded me.
Good luck waiting on that. Nintendo is notoriously scroogey with that.
Oh yeah, it'll happen eventually. Like
it may not. Pokemon Diamond and Pearl is still full price. That has never Christ. That has never gone down in price.
Anyhow, so it brought up some memories for me because people are like, "Oh, I love Zelda again," you know, because a lot of people have not liked the last 5 Zelda games or something like that. So it made me think of, old games that I used to play. You know, of course, I've been thinking about Ocarina of Time and a bunch of the weird little side quests you can do. So my question to you is, what is the first video game you ever played that you can remember?
It's tough because I have memories of being babysat once by our neighbors and playing, I would imagine, one of the Super Marios. It must have been maybe 1. I feel like on the NES. But more vividly, I have memories of our Sega Genesis.
Yeah.
Which was our first console. And I would have to assume the first game I probably played then was Sonic the Hedgehog because it came with the it came with the console. But I have a lot of memories of almost all the games we had on the Genesis, especially the ones we got early on, which was like, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog games, Toe Jam and Earl, Streets of Rage we used to rent a whole lot. There was Mickey and Donald's Castle of Illusion, or no, World of Illusions, I think it was called, which was like Kingdom Hearts before Kingdom Hearts, essentially. Like, it was, it was just you jumping through different Disney worlds, essentially. And it was really fun, was you like fought with a cape, and you like spun it, and that's how you hit enemies. But you could do two player. If you hit your ally player, it like spun them up. And which was like a mild annoyance, unless they were jumping over a pit, in which case you didn't, they just they just drop, which was basically just, it was early day trolling between family members.
Right.
There's a lot of Sega Genesis games I have a lot of fond memories for. Kid Chameleon, Pugsy, Jungle Strike, I think was the one I used to play a lot of too. Which is where I learned a lot of my, Washington DC monuments from, because you had to protect them from being destroyed. So it's like, that's how I know the Jefferson Monument is a thing. I'm like, cause I had to stop terrorists from destroying it.
I know very vividly what the first video game I played was, because I would play it with my dad like freaking every night, basically. It was Golden Axe. We'd play that all the freaking time. Very, very fun game.
That is another really good one.
We had a Genesis too. I would play Sonic on it. We had a bunch of terrible games. But we also played, Forgotten Realms, Altered Beast. Altered Beast is a fun fucking game. The, in retrospect, shockingly not bad Three Ninjas Kickback. Like, you hear that and you'd be like, that would be terrible. It's like, no, actually, it's a pretty fun game.
Well, that's the thing. Like, back then, licensed games were pretty successful. Like, it was not that rare to get games that were licensed that were really good, because there wasn't that much to do in games. So, basically, if people just coded a platformer in a good way, it was a fun game to play. Mm-hmm. So, like, there are a lot of really good licensed games from back then that people really fondly remember.
Yeah. So, there you go. And, if you guys want to answer first video game too, then you can do that.
Yeah, if you want to answer that or the documentary question, shoot us an email then to weeklymangarecap@yahoo.com and just put answer somewhere in your title, so that way I can see it, and we'll drop it over to our answers folder and we'll read it next month.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay, so before we get into this first question, I guess we should kind of recap. We basically ended the last episode cracking up over the fact that people were sending us these mostly Tropical Blitz were sending these incredibly negative "I can't believe Trump won the election" emails, and so there is a little bit of a callback to this a little bit after things had kind of calmed down a little bit.
Yes,
I will say that in like the past week things have still been crazy. There are things that had seemed like honestly, it seems like every day there is something said by some politician that seems like it's just for the sake of a joke in some sort of black comedy series instead of, like, real things that are happening. But, ugh. But even so, I think that people are kind of past the denial phase by the time they send us the emails from this point forward. So
yeah, there'll be some references to it, but I'll start then. Salutations, Chris. Nasty hombre, bad with women, featuring Mr. Flappy's brother, Senor Flappy, Larios. And Nick, Trump might be the president, guys, but at least things can't get any splash, gurgle, gurgle, Freeman. I guess you drowned, Nick. It's pretty bad.
I guess I fell in a pool and drowned, yeah.
That's pretty rough.
So I won't answer these questions. There you go. All right.
First question here. How did you guys do in 2016? I realize it's not a thing to ask. But after the clusterfuck this year has been, I guess it's only appropriate to ask. How did, you know, vent, lament, or even talk about the good things you did this year? Chris, this is your cue to talk about races, which I feel I can't, unfortunately, really respond too much to, because I only ran one big race, which was the half marathon, the Hershey half, which I've talked about right. In some detail previously.
It was an all right year for me. I know it's kind of late to be saying that now. Honestly, already, though, this year has been way more eventful for me. Things are really moving forward, and I think that at the end of this year, I'm going to be much happier with how the year went than I was with how the last year went. Mm-hmm.
More or less, last year wasn't a great year for me, but it's a year I think that's going to be very important going forward, because it's where I kind of learned a couple things about myself and got some things kind of identified. Diagnosed with sleep apnea, depression, things like that. So, stuff that on the onset doesn't sound good to have, but it's good in the fact that now that I know that I have those, it's stuff that can be treated. So,
right. That's the kind of stuff that you could look at and say, like, oh, this is a terrible year. I got diagnosed with this. I got diagnosed with it. Or you could look at it in the terms of, yeah, I got diagnosed with this stuff, and now I'm, you know, working towards getting better. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it was not a great year in some aspects, but in others, it's a very important year because I think it's going to be one that was defining in many ways. So, question two, but this might be a bit personal. How big are your penises? Wait a minute.
That's far more personal than it's actually asked.
Aside from Chris being a podcaster and Nick being a professional writer on occasion, what do you guys actually do?
This isn't too personal for me to answer, but I would like to discuss what I do for a living currently in a certain way that prevents me from being upfront about it now. Mm-hmm. And I will explain at a later date, probably once I have actually stopped working at the current job.
Okay. Is that it?
That's my answer. What's yours?
Okay. I thought you were going to explain it in a vague way or something like that.
No. I mean, it's like, I will say that, I mean, people have probably picked up on the fact I work a night shift, but I'm not going to say where or what I work for.
I mean, you don't have to be ashamed of being a prostitute, Nick. they have quite, like, powerful and rewarding careers.
Yeah, but that's why I didn't want to answer how big my penis was.
You felt like it would destroy my business. No one can know about Big Dick Nick. Florida's premier male escort.
Oh. Well, no answer you can give can possibly measure up to that.
No. I think I mentioned before, I'm a government worker, which, is not an exciting career at all. And I don't really even, it's not even really a career per se. It's just a job I have for now that I'm trying to look into getting out of essentially. But, to answer, I guess more specifically what I do, essentially I manage a training facility. So I'm basically like administrative support, you know, basically just tracking shit, keeping like the facility looking good, tech support. Sort of like whatever's just demanded to help out with like the people who conduct trainings and things like that. It's not interesting, and I'm not going to go into more detail because it would just bore you and make me sad. Question three. What did you finish this year in terms of things other than manga?
gosh. I'm not sure what all is actually, like, noteworthy that I've completed, honestly. It feels like a lot of stuff that I do is kind of, like, ongoing anyway. Mm-hmm. I guess I did write a few short stories last year. In addition to, I guess, yeah, I did write one of my articles last year. That was the, hero one. Finishing TV shows. I'm sure that I finished one because Nicole and I watch a bunch of TV together. Other than that, I don't know.
I know I finished a couple shows in 2016. I guess technically Kimmy Schmidt, since I watched that, I think, early in the year, and then second season came out that year, so I caught up on that. I finished Parks and Rec towards the end of the year. I got through that, which was really enjoyable. Really underrated show in my thoughts. Like, I didn't think...
Somehow, it got, like, seven seasons.
Well, I phrased it really poorly. What I meant is, hearing about it tangentially, I never thought it was going to be that interesting. And even, like, the gifs and things of that I saw, I was like, eh, I didn't see that funny. But it was legitimately a really funny show. I think there was another show I watched that I wanted to bring up there. I just started watching Clone Wars, but that's within this year, so I don't know if that counts. And I think I started watching it literally a day before it got taken off of Netflix, so I may not even be watching any
just
more.
Just abandon that.
But yeah, there was also stuff that came out within 2016 that I watched, like all the Netflix shows that came out, like the Marvel Netflix, things like that. I guess I technically caught up on Arrow and Flash last year, if not very late 2015, early 2016. And I've since not watched those shows either, because they're not very good. But, yeah, I think that's more or less what I kind of caught up on. I didn't finish any books. I was kind of ashamed like that. But I'll maybe catch up on that this year. 4, can I ask what are some of your hopes for where this podcast goes? What reoccurring or even new guests would you like to have?
Let's see. In terms of where the podcast goes, there is a certain project that we've been working on and off that unfortunately we've gotten sidetracked from, as a result of personal stuff, being busy with real life work, and other things, that I would like us to, get back to, but unfortunately that definitely has to take a back seat for a lot of the stuff that's going on. Like, my mom broke her leg a few months ago, so that derailed a couple of things. That's one of the things. In terms of guests, I think that would be really cool if we had, if we managed to get, more people from the Shonen Jump team on. That'd be cool. Not necessarily like have 100%. That's gonna be like one of our long-term achievements. Every member of the staff appears on the show.
Eventually, we'll just have to count it if I, like, throw a mic into their house. And they're like, hey, what's this? And I'm like, put it on the show, Nick. It counts. They were on.
But someone like, if by some miracle we actually had someone who was, like, not necessarily, like, one of the big manga creators, but, like, someone who has actually had their manga published in an ongoing magazine, that would be crazy cool. Have happen.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there, and even not necessarily have to be like people who work in the industry, but it'd be cool just to even find like other personalities or things like that are manga or anime fans and have them on just to have like extra voices on and things like that. It'd be very cool. Question 5.
Just in general, yeah.
Question 5. Chris talked in the past about traveling a bit, and I was wondering if you guys would ever consider if taking the chance to go to a new place if chance permitted, like a trip across the USA or... Okay, that's it. Basically, would we ever consider traveling anywhere? I wonder if this is meant to be like moving someplace new or just traveling, because I think we could both easily say like, yeah, I'd like to go to different places at some points in time. There's a lot of places.
I will say that I'm a bit of an introvert. Like, I don't like going to new places generally. There are definitely some where it's like, oh yeah, that could be cool, but, I very rarely get excited about the prospect of it. Like, to bring you a personal example, my girlfriend, when we first started dating, lived in California. And, the first time I went out to visit her, I did not like start getting excited until I was like on the plane. Like the idea of going somewhere doesn't innately excite me. I was glad that I was going to be seeing her, but the fact that I was going to go somewhere, like it didn't, that was not a part of it, you know?
Yeah.
And, even when I'm going to see her specifically, even though she's very important to me and I love her and I love seeing her and I love seeing her even more in person, it was such a weird thing, you know? Like it never sinks in for me when I have to go somewhere to do something.
See, I'm excited to travel. I don't like living in Harrisburg. It's kind of a lame place to begin with, so I'll take any opportunity I can to get out, but I do have a lot of places I want to go. I'd actually really prefer, like, I wrote like a bucket list essentially, and one of the things on there was take one of those cross-country road trips at some point. I'd really like to see like the 50 biggest cities in the U.S. But also beyond that, I want to go see other countries and things like that. Like, I'd love to go to Ireland, Japan. I'd like to actually see like Iceland and go to Africa, see some of the places that my mom did Peace Corps in, things like that. I'm actually am traveling coming up relatively soon. Me and my family are taking a trip to Spain, which is where my dad's family's from. So we're going to be going to where his family came from, specifically Malaga, I believe is the name of the area. And we're going to hit up Barcelona and Madrid and a couple other places.
Mm-hmm.
And question 6. On a similar note, I know you guys mentioned you'd love to go see Japan once in your lifetimes, but what about exploring less obvious places? I think
nope. We
just kind of covered
that. Yeah. Just answered that question.
Nick's like, go fuck yourself, and I just gave you this answer. So thank you for your question, Tropical.
I did go on a vacation once to see the Grand Canyon, but it was not my idea to do so. I will admit that when we got there, yes, it was very awe-inspiring. The idea of going to see it did not excite me, though.
it's essentially like, if you're like, if I had like an instant teleportation places, I guess I might do it.
Oh, absolutely. If you took out the entire, like, ludicrously, freaking inconvenient aspects of traveling would be so much more exciting to me. It's like, God, I have to go to the I have to dedicate an entire day to going to the airport and flying and sitting still with no internet for several hours.
Why you get a Game Boy? All right, next question, bud.
Yes. Do you need help? Have to scroll down.
No, I'm skipping that one. We don't have time for fucking.
What about burgers?
We don't have time for 89 fucking Tropical Blitz questions today. Okay.
Okay, fine. Now look, no one Tropical Blitz. No,
okay. I'm like fucking burn this email.
No signature on this one. Dear Relative and Y Ruler of Time, hope you all are having a good day. Thank you. You as well. I've been listening to your podcast for about 2 years now, and I want to thank you all for introducing me to my favorite manga, iShow21, and convincing me to get a weekly Shonen Jump subscription. You're welcome. And, guys, you really should get a Shonen Jump subscription if you don't have one already.
It is crazy.
I don't know if they're still having that $20 sale right now, but, yeah.
It's usually around that, though. I think, like, 26. Mm-hmm.
Two questions for you. iShow21 ends how it began, with Senna joining a new team and them wanting to win a new tournament. Who do you guys think would win in the end? Senna's team or Hiruma's team? I would totally go for Hiruma.
I would assume it was Hiruma, because it wasn't like it wasn't their final tournament match. It was like the opening game of the season. So I'd imagine, just thematically, it would make a lot more sense for Hiruma's team, which was stupidly stacked, who, like, the least notable player on their team was Jumanji, who was still a really good player.
Jumanji was... Yeah, you're right. I was thinking of the other two, because they were on Musashi's team, which was also super stacked.
Yeah, so... You know, I imagine that they probably would have won at least the first match, but, yeah, it's one of those things like, hey, you can think about it, let your mind go, but I feel confident that Hiruma's team probably would have won at least the first.
I went back and reread that final chapter just to remind myself who was on all those different teams, and they made a note, like, oh, and also here is Habashiro Rui, who suddenly got better.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they're gonna say for him.
And it was like, oh, hey, and, fucking Yukimitsu and Takami or whatever are on the medical school's team or something like that.
Good luck, guys. I'm sure that you'll be great doctors. But the thing that honestly glitches it for me is the fact that, well, let's compare quarterbacks here. One team has got Hiruma, the other has got Unsui.
Unsui is better than you're giving
Agon's brother.
Yeah, but you're not giving enough credit.
No, their whole thing was that they, also it was really weird because it's like they've got Senna and they've got Riku on that team. Like, are they just gonna run a bunch of multi-running back plays? Come on.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, two back league now, Nick.
That's true. You gotta have an entire, I remember just like 10 years ago, it was weird to have like three running backs and now it's required in order to get by. God. Yeah. Second question is about Kingdom Hearts. Well, I'm sure I'll be able to answer all of this. Even with all its flaws, Kingdom Hearts is a game series I love. I'm looking forward to when I can finally play Kingdom Hearts 3 on the PlayStation 17 in the year 2060. Did you know there is a Kingdom Hearts manga, and would it be something you could potentially review? The story can be infuriating and make no sense, but I think it would be fun, make for a fun review. Maybe.
Yeah, I have heard of the Kingdom Hearts manga. I never read it. The only thing I know about it is my friend Frank was really angry at it, because it was one of those, I think Square Enix, I guess, maybe, I don't know if they published it at the time, if they had like a publishing group in the US or not. But I remember it was more expensive than your regular Shonen Jump series, which are usually like $8 a pop, and it was much less content in it. So he was just really shitty. Like, he's just like, it's more expensive for less content that isn't very good, because he'd already played the games too, so he knew the story. So he's really angry. And I remember posting that thought on a message board and getting like tagged like, "Hey, don't flame." It's like, he offered perfectly valid criticism. Like, I'm angrier in this moment now than he was at the time. I'm like, that was ridiculous. That's not blaming at all. But yeah, I didn't hear good things on it from him, so I just didn't.
We're going to see the Ruby volume come out, and it's going to be like $20 for the volume.
Oh, it probably would be. It would not shock me. All right.
Next up.
Question from Drew. Dear Nick and Chris of the future. I see the old Conan O'Brien bit that they used to do called in the year 2000, which was like they had like fucking these stupid ass robes descend from the ceiling, and they used to talk about like what will happen in the year 2000, which was usually just a bunch of pop culture jokes, but they kept doing it even after the year 2000. So it'd be like 2003, and it'd be like, in the year 2000, Kirsty Alley like makes news after getting stuck in a tub. Like, just a bunch of jokes about Kirstie Alley is fat and Larry King's super old, basically. Oh, I love Conan. As I'm writing this, the Jumpstart series Love Rush has come to an end. So I want to know what Jumpstart series that previously ran in a magazine is/was your favorite, or what Jumpstart do you wish had run in the magazine? Series that are currently running don't count. I really liked Mononofu, and I really wish we had gotten more of it. I thought that series had a lot of potential and like kind of unique premise to it. But I know it didn't last particularly long, even in Japanese Jump, but I wish we'd gotten the full thing, because it was really fun what we got.
What was it? Sporting Assault.
Yes.
That was a good one.
Amalgam of Distortion we liked as well, but that's another one that did not last nearly as long as we thought it kind of would have. I think those are probably the ones that stick out immediately to me, though I'm sure there are other ones. There's been a lot of
Red Sprite. Red Sprite was better than it got.
Yeah, I'm assuming that one's ended too, right?
Well, we saw it end.
Oh, that's right, because it got picked up in the
magazine. The Jumpstart ran all the way through and ended. I guess that doesn't quite qualify as an answer for that, because the Jumpstart did stay in Jump, but it just, you know, actually came to an end in Japan.
Yeah. But, no, I mean, there were a lot of really fun ones back then.
I guess that actually technically disqualifies it from being answered. Otherwise, we could say Gakuhotei.
Best Blue, that was one I kind of liked. I was hoping we'd see more of, but unfortunately we didn't. I guess Gakuhotei doesn't count.
Let's see here.
I'm trying to look up.
I'm actually looking at the list of jumpstarts that we got.
E-Robot, man, I wish that could have hung around a lot longer.
I do honestly wish we had seen. Having now read Welcome to the Ballroom, I do wish we had gotten a bit more of Straighten Up, which actually just recently ended.
I was going to say, that ran a while, so you would have got the full thing of that.
Yeah. So, being able to actually, you know, fully get, maybe at least, it would have gone on long enough that I could have enjoyed it more. You know, who knows?
Yeah. So yeah, there's, quite a few for you. I think this is you.
Okay. Yeah. This comes from Connor Slaybaugh.
Dude,
that's great. That's an awesome name. I'm gonna name like an action hero. Dear Chris, drink a shot of tequila every time I go on a tangent, Larios. And Nick, drink an Irish car bomb every time I say, oh God, Freeman. Which I do say in response to your jokes a lot. I do acknowledge that. Those are some ideas for the eventual WMR drinking game. I'm sure it will happen eventually. Let us know if you actually make a full WMR drinking game. I'm sure that some people would enjoy that.
I think we started making one at one point.
I was checking out some of your earliest recommendations, and being a big fan of Liar Game, decided to read Gamblefish, and imagine my surprise when the final arc, one of the world's largest, most powerful gamblers, is none other than the King of America, President Obama. Bizarrely enough, thanks to the Argyria episode, this is the second time in about a month that I've seen Obama in a manga. My question to you is, are there any nationality stereotypes portrayed in manga that you can't help but enjoy? In Gamblefish, both Ohama and Emily Donner depicted as English-speaking, gun-toting Americans decked in star-spangled attire, and it's over-the-top that I have to love it. If you can't think of one, you can broaden it to any kind of stereotype.
I do love the American stereotypes, usually because it's not even a stereotype so much of America. They're just like, it's like they define it as, they wear some factor of American flag on their person. Like, there's nothing about Bandit Keith that really sticks out as being American to me, unless you're like, I guess Americans are all opportunist cheaters. But he, like, you identify him with American, partially because of Yu-Gi-Oh! The Abridged, but because he just has this fucking American flag bandana.
Even if Leo Kriya had never done that, he wears an American flag bandana.
Yeah, and it's like, Ikumi from Food Wars. American flag bikini girl.
I don't even know if she's actually from America.
She just has one, and I identify her as American.
What American is named Ikumi Mito?
And it's not even though it's like the only time I've seen an American flag bikini character. You know, they're just around, and I don't know why I fucking love that notion of just an American character who's just like, I guess that's the stereotype.
I need to wear a flag to identify myself.
Like, that's the stereotype.
It's not like, even just manga, like, Tina Armstrong from Dead or Alive. She wears like an American flag bikini top, doesn't she?
Yes,
a cowboy hat.
Which is so unnecessary because their fucking fighting style, quote unquote, is professional wrestling. Which only an American would be stupid enough to think that's an actual fighting style. Like, not wrestling.
In fairness, kayfabe is still intact in Japan. So.
But the thing is that it's not wrestling. It's professional wrestling, specifically as her style. So her fighting style is all about fucking power bombs and pile drivers, which are just awful things to try to use in real combat.
And then eventually they introduced the Lucha Libre character too in Street Fighter.
Yeah, and plus her dad's his own fucking separate professional wrestling character.
So yes. Okay, American stereotype of wearing flags in some capacity.
Yeah.
If they're actually... I'm not sure about in manga though, aside from that, because, I don't know, I feel like a lot of times when something pops up from manga, it's like, snooty French guy. I mean, but that just kind of, like, isn't even manga, isn't just confined to manga in general. You know, snooty European guy seems to pop up in manga a lot, though.
Yeah. I guess, the Kansai character, like, people who are supposed to have that accent, they're usually pretty funny characters, too. Like, pretty weird, like, oddball people.
Because they're just the stereotype that they're much more upfront and gruff.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of a fun one, especially for someone who's not from the area, so it's all like a new kind of thing you're seeing. All right. Okay. Next question here. This is from Moss. Question: Is there a minimum chapter limit in terms of requesting or making a recommendation for manga on the show? I know there could be situations where chapters can have more than 20 pages at a time, but when I looked up Keijo, I was shocked to see that there were 96 quote-unquote hips at this time, while other manga with currently running animes only had 25 or 42 chapters to their name. This is when we did Keijo in the series, and no, there's no minimum chapter limit, per se. If a series is really, really small, like it's only like six or so chapters or something like that, yeah, we probably won't take it right then, but it's still something you could recommend, and we'll keep an eye on it, kind of wait for it to build up, like, a length, essentially. But, no, there's no, like, minimum chapter limit. I mean, we've reviewed stuff that's been almost, like, one-shots on here, and plenty of series that have been, like, 20 chapters long and maybe ended or things like that.
Yeah. There could always come the time when we want to break up some longer recommendations and just bang out a really short one.
I think we took My Hero as a recommendation when that was probably only around, like, 25 or so chapters.
Yeah, yeah. True.
So, yeah, no minimum. Thank you for your question, Moss.
Okay, next up comes from Gottfried Schulteld, and I'm sorry if I pronounced that wrong.
Thank God.
You always say be sure to send your criticism, ask questions, and suggest future manga. I must ask, do you get a lot of criticism? What's the most common? We do get criticism, but mostly when I say that, I basically mean to say feedback. You know, send us feedback, let us know what you like and what you don't like, and then we can use that to, you know, adjust the show, potentially. Yes, we do get negative feedback because we are producing content on the internet. It happens.
Well, the lucky part, I feel, is that we don't get many people who are outwardly angry at us in emails. Usually it's for people who are fans who are like, hey, something I noted, or hey, have a thought for you, things like that. We generally get our most negative criticism just on YouTube from people who are just like, these dudes read Fairy Tail, losers. It's like, but we don't like Fairy Tail. What are you doing? I would say the most common we probably ever gotten, because most stuff we only get like a couple times. The most common we probably got was that period of time after we were using Discord where Nick's mic was cutting out on my end a whole lot. And that was understandable. It was a lot of people be like, I can't understand what Nick's saying a lot of the time. And that was something we're working on. Spoilers for you guys. I'm not a trained audio professional, unfortunately, an audio engineer. So a lot of this stuff we're kind of going, you know, in the moment, and I learn as time goes on. So when that stuff happens, you know, I actually appreciate when you guys, you know, put your opinions out there, because it gives me some, like, you know, motivation. Also, I'm trying to think of
right.
the term.
If you let us know this isn't good enough, then we will make it better.
Motivation, yeah, and insight, I guess, on what I need to improve with the show and things like that. So I definitely appreciate it, and, you know, hopefully the sound quality is a lot better since then. So, yeah, it's always appreciated.
Second question, has there ever been a concept or idea for a manga that you've always wanted to see but have yet to find? I think that we've answered variations of this question before, like ideas that we've had for manga and stuff. And also we've like shared our ideas for manga that we kind of wish that we can do, basically, too.
Yeah. So.
What is the capital of Assyria? What is your favorite color?
Am I being stupid? What's Assyria? Is it like a joke we made, or?
It's a reference to Monty Python and the Holy Grail, where they have to answer the three questions in order to cross the bridge.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What is your favorite color? Blue, no yellow. What is the capital of Assyria? I don't know that. Assyria is, it no longer exists. And it actually had two capitals throughout its history, so it's actually kind of a trick question.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It did not exist, so is would not be the proper form of to be, and there were two capitals, so you could go.
So yeah. That person has to fall down a cliff then, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, in the same way that Arthur tricked him by saying, what do you mean African or European swallow, you know?
I've never watched anything from Monty Python, so right over my head. My favorite color is blue, though.
Of what?
My favorite color is blue, though.
Oh, okay.
If I was supposed to give any real answer to that question. All right, next question, then?
Yes.
All right. Question from DEagle93. Hello, Rolo, insert clever title here, T, and why insert better title than Chris's Ruler of Time? Sup, guys? Happy St. Patrick's Day. The reason we're laughing is he put all of the holidays in here and just said pick whichever one's closest to you guys.
I like how it goes Memorial Day, Flag Day, Independence Day, wherever the fuck August has.
That's nothing. Question one. Oh, sorry, questions. Inquiry one. Hypothetically speaking, let's say you were out and walking, discovered Asta, Coco, Grammy, Mest, Frosch, and Katori have been strapped to a railroad track in front of an oncoming bullet train. This means the means by which they're restrained is nullifying whatever abilities they may possess, and you realize that you are the only person who can pull them to safety. If you only have enough time to grab one of them, and know full well that whomever you don't choose will almost certainly die and never come back, who would you choose to cook the celebration meal? Soma, Sanji, or Komatsu? That is an excellent question. I think Sanji. Soma is interested in the notion of, I'm really curious to see what kind of foods he has. Like, no one gets quite that kind of reaction, but I feel like Sanji, like, I really just want to see, like, it'd be cool to see Sanji and just get that kind of food. It'd be interesting.
If you want to go for, like, the safest bet and enjoying the meal that's prepared, it would have to be Komatsu. Because he would, you know, not deliberately screw you over, you know, like Sanji, who can be very moody on who he gives good food to. And Soma, who might give you his experimental dishes.
That's not, you know what?
I would probably go Sanji too anyway.
I think I might have to go Soma though, because you think Sanji's going to be in the mood to cook when Katori just got fucking train murdered over there? Like, he's going to be like...
Do you think that Sanji would think that Katori's a cute girl?
I mean, she has breasts, so I assume he's probably pretty on board with her. Like, I don't know, I don't think Sanji's that picky.
If I had to actually pick one person to save, by the way, I think it might actually be Katori, because all the others is like, I don't think can be redeemed for me.
Well, here's the thing too, like, is it actually Grimmy, or is it the brain in a jar? Like,
can you just back the train up onto that brain a few times to make sure?
If there's an addendum to that as well. If you could spend that time to strap one extra character to the tracks, who would it be?
So many good choices.
I basically get to murder one extra character. Oh, that's tempting and juicy in many ways. I think...
The boyfriend from Today Love Starts.
Okay, I can see that one. I'm gonna put Onigiri from Air Gear. Like, just fucking kill this thing. This awful, awful character.
Skate on head.
I hope it has a stupid fucking roller scan in his head when it happens, too. An addendum, too. If you could strap the entire cast of a series to the tracks, which cast would it be? It has to be the entire cast, good or bad.
Freezing.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of awful manga that I feel like we could pick there. If I had to pick, like, something from our current lineup, I'd say maybe, like, Black Clover. I feel like the good that would be lost is worth getting rid of that extra dead weight. I'm like, good. Now I don't have to read the light novel, because you're all dead!
Does Ruby count as a currently running one? Because I guess it just ended, but I don't know. It's very recent. I'd go for Ruby if it were available.
Nick, you're going to kill everybody's waifus? You're insane! Brennan's gonna be so mad at you.
Everybody's waifus and a few people's husbandos.
No, Gene's another waifu. He doesn't get his own classification. Query 2, or B, rather. The two of you have been kidnapped by some supernatural entity and placed in an arena, forced to fight an ultra-universe version of yourself, with each of you being given the powers of a manga character. However, the entity has less imagination than Grimmy, and alternate yous are actually responsible adults who have never read manga, so the choice of power falls onto you. Whatever powers you choose are randomly assigned among the four of you, and you're allowed to choose where the fight is taking place. What power sets would you pick, and where would you fight? Also, stands are invisible to non-stand yous if you choose them.
I would actually, because it mentions the stand yous there, I would probably go for some, like, of the more bizarre JoJo powers. I don't know which ones in particular, I'll probably leave that to you. But even if alternate me has training in order to use the power, if he is a responsible adult who doesn't read manga, that he's not going to be as imaginative as me.
Yes. There's a lot of JoJo stands that actually work very well off of that, too. So, like, Stone Ocean, Sticky Fingers, Diver Down. All of those are ones where you're like, in the hands of a regular person, they're just like, so wait, it turns my body into string? I can punch things and make zippers appear? How is that useful? And if I get it, I'm just like, boom, zipper behind you, punch through your face is a zipper now, I rip it off and you dead! Take that, alternate responsible version of me! He's like, why couldn't I get transported to you when we have an accounting competition? And then I get to, like, send you to Death Realm afterwards. I'm like, because that's not how the quest was phrased, bitch!
So there you go.
Yeah. There you go, yeah. Oh, I need a fourth one. Magician Dread. I stopped caring.
Isn't that one, like, shooting fire?
One that's extremely straightforward.
Oh, God. All right. No signature on this one. Hello, Mr. Y-Ruler of Time and Mr. Rolla T. Sporadic listener, first-time emailer. Mostly because I have a hard time working both of your podcast into my schedule, and I'm not very extrovert, respectively. That's all right. We appreciate your listening and also the email.
Yes, exactly.
Two questions. First, do either of you have any thoughts on Screw Attack's Death Battle, Zoro versus Urza episode? Have you watched that?
No. I've heard people talk about it, and I guess I heard Zoro actually did win, so
yeah.
I kind of am like...
Good, I mean, that's the right answer, so...
Yeah, so I'm like, I don't have to watch it and get angry, I guess. but I've never been a crazy big fan of, like, the character versus character things. I mean, I was a little bit, mm-hmm. when I was a kid and I read, like, the Electric Ferret Forum and things like that, but...
That was a cool forum.
Yeah. Now that I'm older, like, I don't know. It's one of those things where you're like, there's no way to get a tangible answer here. And you're almost always, if you're having that discussion, you're arguing against someone who's not going to be swayed to your opinion anyway.
Yeah.
So it's just the sake of arguing for arguing's sake. Which I've come to realize in the football world is essentially discussing alternate possibilities. Had one play gone differently, how their entire team sees it would have changed completely, and you can't argue them different. Like someone who's like, oh, if Green Bay hadn't intercepted that pass, then they wouldn't have won this game, and then all these different sequences of events wouldn't happen, and the Eagles win the Super Bowl. I'm like, go fuck yourself. That's not how it works. I can't do it. I get too angry just like having that discussion.
Honestly, so. I think that watching wrestling may have changed the way that I perceive this matter too, like in terms of fantasy battles. Because I mean, honestly, when it boils down to it, wrestling is basically just one guy who's the writer is, you know, having two toys pound against each other and then he decides who wins, you know? But just, oh, this guy won because he's stronger is not as important to me now as it is like, okay, well, what does that mean in terms of the story and what's going to happen in the future? What developments occur as a result of this person's victory and this person's loss and what you got to do going forward?
Yeah.
And also to back up your point on like, it's pointless to even bother discussing it because you're never going to convince someone. Death Screw Attack ended up doing like, cause years ago, one of the really popular ones, but were controversial ones, was Goku against Superman. Mm-hmm. And they did a second one a little bit more recently.
Did Superman still win?
Superman still won, yeah.
Why? Why would they do it again then?
Well, people demanded it, I think, because of, you know, the Super Saiyan got Super Saiyan thing
that
the movies and Super have created. But Superman is still, you know, just like on a different, completely different scope of power from Goku, because he is, you know, a god superhero, basically, whereas Goku is an imitation of a god, basically. So, you know, again, people got pissed off about it. It's like, well, you know, if you're looking at at a certain way, then you're not going to just suddenly change your mind on this. So what's the point of getting angry enough to demand that someone reconsider? It's like, you know, way back when I first started watching videos, someone demanded that I wasn't objective enough when I reviewed Naruto and demanded I do it again. Like, I'm not going to change my opinion just because you told me to re-examine it.
Yeah, it's not that fun.
I Was there a second question?
Yeah, I don't think there was. There's a second one that's basically asking about your Y Ruler of Time.
Why did Nick choose Y Ruler of Time as his alias? Is there any relation between a Ruler of Time and a Time Lord? And if so, which is more powerful? Obviously, a Ruler of Time is more powerful than a Time Lord because he rules over all of time.
True. You're like Kronos or another god of time whose name I can't remember at this moment. And I only remember Kronos from Smite.
The name Y Ruler of Time comes from two different online handles that I had before that. One was my fan fiction writing handle, which also had to do with like Dominion over Time. And the Y comes from Yamato, which I would use in all the games I played.
There you go. All right. Question here from Satellite. Y Ruler of Time, Rolo T, I've come to bargain. Y Ruler of Time, Rolo T, I've come to bargain. Why Ruler of Time? You get to the premise. It's a Doctor Strange joke, which I found very funny. But have either of you two ever been to a live wrestling event, WWE or otherwise? And if so, were there any memorable moments for you? I like this question.
I have been to exactly one live wrestling event.
Me too.
Maybe
two.
Yeah. I remember you talking to me about it when you did it. Yeah. I went to a Raw taping. I think it was like the first of 2013, mm-hmm. The first Raw that they did, and it was a pretty big show as a result of that because they were going towards the Royal Rumble. The Rock made an appearance in order to build up his feud with CM Punk. That was when Ziggler was way into his heel run with his alliance with AJ and with Big E.
Oh, AJ.
Yeah, really miss AJ, honestly. Yeah. Miss her more than CM Punk, probably, at this point. I think that she would really help out.
Oh, she'd be great in the division right now.
Right. I mean, it could really use someone with this, someone who is
that
as strong a character. Strong charisma and character as she is. But it was a really good show, honestly. Had a great match between Ziggler and Cena that pissed me off at the time because Ziggler just lost the way that everyone loses to Cena. He had like a billion different interference spots that he should have won. Even if he had a heel bastard. Team Hell No had a match. I forget who they wrestled against. But I remember that we freaked out and thought that, Dan O'Brien might have actually legitimately injured because we were up in the stands and couldn't tell that he was just selling it. Cesaro neutralized Great Khali.
Ooh.
So that was a cool little standalone moment. And Ryback and CM Punk had a TLC match where the Shield interfered. So overall, that's better than a lot of pay-per-views that they've put on, honestly.
Yeah.
Really good show. It made me realize, though, that the Tampa crowd sucks for wrestling events. Because I was freaking yelling my lungs out. There was a girl next to me who cheered for all the people that I booed against. Basically, she was, all for the faces, and I was, internet smart, all for the heels. but we got along really well.
Yeah.
We were the two in our respective parties that were there for the wrestling, and we had dragged along our significant others or whatever for it. And we had a really good time, but discovered that as much as I was trying to prevent it, the crowd was there for John Cena and they were there for The Rock and no one else because stupid casual wrestling fans.
Fucking casuals.
Hmm.
I saw a SmackDown taping that I think it must have been in March. It might have been that same year, honestly. I think it was the same year. It was definitely The Rock was there, and that's the reason we went, and it was The Rock
leading up to Mania. Because that was when Ryback was really big, but he was just starting to wind down. And I remember you talking about the program he was doing with Mark Henry.
Yeah, and there was a lot of Ryback shirts there. I didn't realize how much kids were really into Ryback. The biggest thing I kind of remember from it is just how crazy charismatic The Rock was during that. I mean, it was insane how much the crowd was eating up him. He didn't do a match or anything. He just came there to do a promo. And it was basically him talking about growing up in Bethlehem, PA for a period of time. Something that, if I look it up, he's only, lived in Bethlehem, PA for, like, a year.
He does that same promo every fucking where he goes.
Yeah.
He said that he was from Florida. He said he was from Texas. He said he was from California. Fuck The Rock and his, I'm from here, everywhere he goes.
But you couldn't stop being fucking entranced by him. He was just so charismatic, so funny. People were eating him up. But I remember going to it, and I was not Eunuch. I was not an internet smart. I specifically had cheered for all the good guys and booed all the bad guys because it was my thought of, like, you know, this is your way of helping them out too, because if they're getting a reaction, it helps them. And it was actually a pretty good crowd for it. The most notable thing, though, and I remember my girlfriend at the time mentioned it to me. She's like, once you see it live, doesn't it, like, look a lot smaller than you think it would? And that is 100% true. Once you see a performance live, you're like, I feel like this place should be 7 times bigger from how it looks like it on television. This seems really small.
That's their TV production crew. And I remember thinking that too, because we had freaking practically nosebleed seats in the stadium, but you could see the ring and the action so clearly despite that. It felt so much closer than you would suspect it would be when watching on TV.
And I think when I was a kid, I probably wasn't born, but my brother and sister have vivid memories of being taken to see a WWF show at the time. Maybe I was a baby and they just didn't bring me. But they have, like, memory. We actually used to have foam 2x4s, the Jim Duggan ones.
Jim Duggan.
From it. And, like, the most notable story from it is that my brother got lost and a security guard had to bring him back. My dad was really angry about that. So, that's my own experiences, but they were very fun. I'd love to see a show again at some point. Also, my brother, second question for satellite. Also, my brother recently made the comparison that Katori is Seth Rollins of World Trigger. Would you guys agree with this? I'm going to leave this entirely to you, Nick.
I mean, in what terms? God, that really depends on how you phrase it in terms of the phase of Seth's WWE career and how it relates to the people around her. Like, Katori's teammates are certainly not Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns, so I'm not sure about that. That's really hard to say because Seth's played very different characters on the spectrum, even recently, in terms of the twists and turns that his career has gone through because of his unfortunately exploding knee. Let's move on to new question from Matt Haxar Shaw. Dear Nick, why Rolo of Time and Chris Ruler T? You guys are still the funniest podcast I've listened to by far. Thank you very much. Imagine there are two other realities. One where you are both older versions of yourselves and are reading mostly seinen manga, and another where you are both female, Nicola and Christine, and reading shoujo manga. Question one, which podcast would you find more interesting to listen to and why? The female one?
Yeah, I think the female one, because, like, the big thing is that it would be decisively different from what we do now. Like, we reach seinen mangas on the podcast. We take recommendations for that more frequently than we do shoujo. And, I mean, the big difference between seinen and shonen a lot of times is just maybe seinen isn't as much about friendship and effort and usually features more boobs and, like, gore. But it's not, like, the general, like, themes and topics and things like that, not that different. Whereas a shoujo manga podcast, that would be something completely different from what we do. It'd be interesting to see, like, the big diversity in that.
Shoujo manga is meant to appeal to a different audience than shonen. Seinen is meant to appeal to people who used to read shonen and are a bit older now.
Yeah.
Question two, which duo would you rather meet? I would personally rather meet an older version of myself, get some advice from them.
Well, that's the thing. It's older. Okay, so the older ones are us, just older.
I guess.
It's not like an alternate version of us that just happened to also.
So are you saying that I have all the same wisdom and knowledge that I do now, but I'm, you know, like 50 instead of my...
Or is it like a fucking, like it's a looper scenario and I'm like able to talk to myself and be like, so tell me what happens. Like tell me the interesting stuff that's going to happen in this like 5 years or whatever before I start becoming a seinen podcast. Like, you know, what important events can I take advantage of? If it's not that... I guess I'd probably still go with that. Although it might be interesting to see what, like, a alternate version of myself that I guess is just a woman. It's one of those things where, like, I know the question isn't meant to be this intricate and deep, but I'm like, but what experiences have they had? Like, like, you know, is it the same person as me, just a woman, or does, like, they have, you know, wildly different experiences? I'll go with the older version just to be concise.
And question three, Chris, making out with your female self, too weird, not weird, just weird enough?
Not weird, but I would really, I'd lose a lot of respect for her if she did. Cause she has to have higher standards than this. Like, she has to have a little bit more going for her that she's not gonna just jump on it.
What you don't know is that she also swiped right a whole lot on it.
All right. I guess next question here then from Loon Ranma Yasha. Happy Valentine's Day. Kind of close. Nick, Y Ruler of Time after Time of Your Life Freeman, and Chris, Rolling into Deep because I'm so lonely I could cry tonight, Larius. Or St. Patrick's Day, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Question one. I reread through all of Toriko after the series ends, and I was blown away by how much foreshadowing nuances there were to the series, especially during the post-time skips arc, though I completely missed it reading it weekly. Nothing in the series ever comes out of nowhere with things like Toriko's other gourmet demons, Acacia and Pear's true motives, and a bunch of other stuff in the final chapter about the ends of the earth the demons Nitro used to work with, all being built up to and alluded to long before they were revealed. Have you guys ever appreciated a series or story arc you didn't care much for before, more, after reading it?
A fairly recent one for me was Bleach, when I reread the last arc when it ended. And so I gained a bit of an appreciation for the way it had started off compared to where it went after, like, the first quarter was done. But in terms of foreshadowing, I don't know about that.
I don't know if I could say, per se, foreshadowing. You know what, I'll just say War Trigger was one that I really, like, I remember we pooped all over the beginning of that series when it came out in WMR and we were reviewing it week to week. But upon reading the first few volumes, I still maintain, like, it's not nearly as bad as I thought it was back then. It's still a pretty solid series even at that point, so, yeah, that's one I think I really gained a lot more appreciation for after reading it. But I think it happens, honestly, for a lot of series that we do week to week on here. And then when I read it in one concentrated burst, you can appreciate it a lot more.
Somehow I just tend to read better that way.
Mm-hmm. Question two, what would your guys' full course meals be? And don't just say Toriko or Acacia's and call it a day.
I'm not going to give the full course, because...
yeah, it would be too tough, and I don't remember everything. I'd probably just say, like, jewel meat would be my, like, main dish on there, because jewel meat was the, like, one thing in Toriko that when I remember when them describing it, I was like, holy shit, that sounds amazing. Probably put, like, century soup on there. Rainbow fruit might make my dessert. And then probably they have to just fill in the rest of the stuff with other shit. Can I have, like, bacon salad? Can that be a thing? I just don't get that excited about salads. It needs to be something pretty cool. And do they have, like, an appetizer sampler? Because I love appetizers, so I want, like, a collection of them.
So let's see here. I haven't named everything, but the ones that I did are actually, like, real foods. Okay. So, let's see here. My dessert would be Pop-Tarts. That shouldn't be a surprise. My drink would be warm apple cider. It's gotta be, like, just the right temperature. It's so easy to get the temperature of apple cider wrong. You guys have no idea. Main course would be, the chicken dinner that my grandmother would make when I would visit her. Just like roast chicken, cooked potatoes, and lima beans. I have some very, very fond memories of that. My soup would be my high school math teacher's literally award-winning chili. Literally, he won, like, local chili contest awards for it. And he brought some of it for us to try to class one day, and it was fucking delicious. let's see. And there were a couple of other things that I thought of before. I can't remember now, but I think that's good to go.
I guess if I'm to put it in, like, real foods, I can't remember the particular cut of it, but there was a garlic sirloin steak I had from Texas, or Fogo de Chao. That would definitely be, like, my main dish. My dessert would be my grandma's Texas sheet cake, which was disgustingly good, and I always regret that we never got that recipe from her. And yeah, soup would definitely be some variation of a chili. I don't know if I've ever had like one particular chili that sticks out, but chili is amazing. And I think my drink would probably just be water because I'm boring. Like, I like water a lot.
And your drink would be frozen. Thanks, went to the dough.
Can my fish dish be crab? Can it be like crab legs?
Sure.
Sweet. All right, it's gonna be crab legs. Holy shit! Can I get rid of the entire thing and just have crab legs and beer, like that scene in The Wire that I really want to relive, where they just eat crab legs and drink beer in an interrogation?
I guess you could make crab legs your meat, your fish, and your main course.
Oh, but fuck
yes! I don't know if there's a way that you can justify making it your dessert.
Can I throw like lettuce on a crab leg and be like salad, and just eat that?
And also it's an appetizer, and it's a dessert.
And I put it in a bowl with water, and I'm like, it's a soup. Oh, it's in a lot of butter. That's a soup. So, boom. All right. Made the entire thing. My drink is just beer.
Oh, God.
Three, what do you guys think are the most satisfying endings in manga? Monster. Monster had a really good satisfying ending to that.
I guess Naruto, technically. Because we liked that and that ending chapter so much that it kind of changed our opinion on the series as a whole. Because it just kind of pulled it out at the end. Not in terms of like what the conclusion was, but just the last chapter.
Yeah. That's the ones that come to mind.
Light dying in Death Note. That's great. Really satisfying.
If you could improve the ending to any manga, which would you choose and how would you change it? That's a very open-ended question. With a lot of stuff. Let's just pick one. We get to pick one manga, change the ending to it. How do you do it? I would change the end of another Naki Urasawa series. I would change the end of 20th Century Boys and basically just try to structure it a little bit better so it's a lot less jumping around and remove that entire, like, virtual reality thing from it, because that still, even to this day, makes no sense to me. I'm like, why would the virtual reality thing have programmed, like, a fucking faceless person? Why would that be in there?
Fuck.
I'll go to the next one, and if you have a...
I guess Bleach, because I hated that entire final arc, and I think that the memories that I have of it deserve better.
Question 5. If you could end any series earlier than where it ended, which would you choose, and where would you end it? So let's just get the immediate Ice Shield 21 after the Ojo match, or after Hikoshu, but I'd still say Ojo's a more fitting...
If I have to actually change something from it, make the Teikoku match, like, actually good...
You know, this recently just came to my mind, and I got angry about it all over again, because there's been a lot of, I see people keep posting stories about, like high schools where a female has been put as the quarterback of the team. People are like, good, more of this. And I get angry every time. I'm like, why was Corinne the quarterback of the best fucking team in Japan? The one who was given so much focus was literally like a fucking elevator school designed to create the best football team in existence, and she did nothing notable.
She threw one pass that was very pretty and perfect.
Yeah, that was her specialty. She throws very catchable passes, which is a good thing to have, but the best quarterback in all of Japan apparently had nothing unique about her beyond the revelation, oh, it's a female. And you're like, what? This is crazy. Oh, you're not actually important. Okay, fine.
Change that entire game except for Musashi doing the 60-yard field goal at the end. That was good.
That was great.
Taka's stuff with Monta basically just needs a better conclusion. Like, he finally beat him at catching was not quite as good as it needed to be. Like, the general dynamic with him, the backstory, it's like, oh, you know, he's Monta's hero's son, and he's even better at catching football than him. That's all good. Frickin' change Yamato completely. That boring motherfucker.
Yeah, that was insane that dude was so forgettable for the fucking title of the series.
Give the others the Devil Bats something to do. Jumanji and Kuroki and Togano should have had more than just we ganged up on one guy and made him fumble the ball.
It's so baffling to me that there was never a follow-up to Kakei saying, I'm going to teach you all of my hand techniques. Not one fucking follow-up to that. It's just mentioned in the same scene everyone else is shown to be performing techniques by their mentors during the training session, mm-hmm. which is stupid. I will say, though, I like the Yukimitsu scene in there. I just wish it had felt bigger, considering mm-hmm. his previous, like, moments in other two games during that, like, saga were much more memorable and big. That one was still another great moment where it's like, your true skill as a receiver is your reliability, because the quarterback can throw it and know you where you're going to be no matter what. And it would have been nice if that felt bigger at the time. Because I remember it didn't feel that significant. It was almost like an afterthought in the chapter.
One last thing that I wouldn't change, Ishimaru. Having like one little moment, and that's all you need to get. He did slightly better than you would expect him to. I love Ishimaru. The most forgettable.
The dude who's literally forgettable.
Right.
And question six, if the U.S. 2016 presidential election were to be depicted in manga form, who would you get to draw the series?
Horikoshi. I know exactly how to answer this. Hideki Iwata, the guy who did Legend of Koizumi, which also has political figures to pop up in it.
There you go.
And features right. Super Saiyan Hitler.
I think go past this question, because I think it's a resubmitted one.
Okay.
So, to Marin.
Yeah, it is. You're right. Okay. This comes from, Marion. Question, if you had All for One's ability, what quirks would you gift to the Straw Hats without quirks?
Okay, so, Nami, Zoro, Sanji, Usopp, Frankie, just those, okay. Frankie, I give Yayurozu's quirk. So he can make materials all the time, and nothing would be funnier to me. He's like, oh, I need to build this bridge. And he just starts making materials. Like, it starts shooting out of his nipples as he's just like, super! Because that to me is perfect Frankie. He's never wearing pants. He's always wearing like an open Hawaiian shirt. He'd have plenty of places to create stuff out of.
I like that answer.
I
would give Usopp Hagakure's ability to turn invisible just to piss off Sanji.
Oh, that would be great. Sonny just hates him. He's like, I didn't really want it!
I'm still so I can kick you. Where'd you go? Damn it.
Sanji, what would Sanji want? What would be good for him? Is there any kind of, like, X-ray ability? I feel like he'd love that.
I'm sure that...
No, he'd want to be, I guess we don't actually know if that was her ability or not. The one that Toga impersonated during the license exam. Basically, if Sanji could get a shape-shifting ability, because I'd imagine he'd just use it to turn into all the pretty girls he likes and fill them up, like he did when he took over Nami's body for a bit. What would be Nami?
I think she would also be pissed off that Usopp was invisible, because she could use that to steal stuff.
That is true.
Could just cut out the middleman and give her Kaminari's power so she can shoot lightning without the climb attack. Or use it to enhance the climb attack.
That is true. I'm just trying, I feel like there's almost something better for her. You know what maybe she'd like or would be good for her is actually Aizawa's power, the ability to neutralize other people's powers.
Ooh.
So that way she could stop really powerful devil fruit users and fight them on better terms.
Hmm. That would make her one of the stronger from Straw Hats, honestly.
It would. Zoro, I would probably just give, like, Kaminari, or Tetsutetsu. Like, essentially just something that would make him stronger physically. Because it's that thing that I always do when someone asks me to give, like, powers to Straw Hats. I'm like, I don't think Zoro would ever want anything that actually gives him a different advantage. He kind of prides himself on being strong as a swordsman. So I don't think I'd ever really want to change that.
You could give him Deku's mom's power to just draw objects to himself.
That is
so
true.
He could just like force draw his swords if they ever get taken away from him.
Or even just a power that he doesn't even have to use in combat. Like something that would just be like, this lets me eat two times as quickly so I can get back to working out faster or something like that. I get
so one of the generally useless ones, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. And Usopp. What would be an interesting one for Usopp? I'd almost love to see him have Tokoyami, just so Usopp becomes Edgelord for a little bit. Like, he's like, this darkness, it's controlling me! The beak can't fit over his nose. Like, you can still see the very, like, tip of his nose poking through the beak. Ooh, Gang Orcus power. Ooh, yeah. Yes, or Usopp has all the powers of a whale. Done. All right.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. No, there's a follow-up, I think, to that.
Is there?
Yeah.
What powers would you give each other? Oh.
I'm going to be nice. I'm going to give you Bakugos. Something really cool.
Oh. Okay. You like, can trust me. I think that I can be relatively trusted with that one. This needs to blow up bugs occasionally. Oh, fuck, nah. You can have Hagakure's power, too.
Oh, sweet! You can turn invisible. Oh, that's great. I'm going to be invisible all the time, except I'm never going to take off clothes, so everyone's like, I know where you are. You really are just making this power so useless. I'm like, but I don't want anyone to see my wiener. They're like, that's why you're invisible, you dumb asshole! Like, yeah, but what if Nami shows up and then everyone won't see my wiener?
You, like, hold up your Nami figurine.
I'm like, she can betray me. Oh, actually, Wednesday Dale Cheddar gave a great answer. Usopp should have Ida's power so he could run away fast.
Oh,
that does seem fitting. Alright, questions here from Kenny Barnes. Dear Chris, King of Fighters 97 Larios, and Nick Gauru, Mark of the Wolves Freeman. I've never played King of Fighters, and I don't know what Gauru is, so I'm lost on the references here. He apologized at the start for yelling at us about Plus Anima, and said he realized upon re-listening that we didn't actually say it was a bad manga. He's just still angry that we did not appreciate the Bear God more, so that is fair enough. His questions here. First question. Following my question about anime with a lack of manga adaptations, what are the manga that you liked that you feel needed to be made into an anime regardless of the quality of the adaptation? Crimsons, I think, would be a really interesting one to see an anime of. I don't know how you could make it work, but Crimsons would be a really funny anime. The salmon story of salmon swimming upstream as done as a like exciting shonen pump up series. What other ones would be interesting? I'd like to see Cross Manage get one, but I think that's just me wish fulfillment on my end. I don't know if it necessarily would make a great anime or needs to be an anime or even be unique as one, but I'd like to see it get more recognition. It's a series that I feel like eventually, like once we stop doing this podcast, it's very quickly going to fall out of anyone's consciousness as a manga.
We're the ones propping it up.
Yeah, we're the sole thing keeping up, and we barely do that, so.
Nothing comes to mind, honestly.
Fair enough. Question two. I fell out of Yu-Gi-Oh! Years ago, but is Chaos Emperor Dragon still the most broken card ever? Nick?
Well, it actually got unbanned in the original card game. It's not nearly as broken as it was when it came out. The thing is that, like, the game has just, like, gotten to a point where it's just not that bad anymore. In the context, like, God, there are so many cards that are just generally, like, more broken than it, that were also banned. Like, there's a card called, Sixth Sense. It's a trap card where you declare two numbers between 1 and 6, and then you roll a die. And if it lands on one of the two cards that you called, then you draw that many cards. And if you call it wrong, then you just, like, send that many cards to the graveyard. So you have 1/3 chance of just drawing 5 or 6 cards.
I think the one
card... That's pretty broken.
It's still banned, I think, but Yu-Gi-Oh! Still to this day created maybe the worst designed card in all of existence, which I still can't comprehend, which is just Pot of Greed. Where you're like, hey, we designed a card that gives you two cards. Like, you're like, why would, Like, that's where you look at it and you're like, oh, right. Well, yeah, it's like, why would you ever? And I'm like, oh, right, this wasn't designed by a card game designer. This was made by a dude.
It was such an early, yeah, it was such an early one.
It's perfect for that game because it, you know, you can have a situation where it's like, Yugi has no cards in his hand. And I'm about to win this duel. He's screwed. And it's like, oh, but he could draw a card that lets him draw two cards. So that way he can get two cards essential to his turnabout or whatever. So, like, dramatically for the game, it works. But that is an awfully designed card in concept because you're like, there is no downside to this.
As probably, that card probably ended up getting used more often than Monster Reborn, honestly.
There's no reason to not play three copies of it in your deck. Like, even if you draw all three at the top of the game, you're like, well, I'll just draw six cards then, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like,
and there was a point when it would have been at three, I think. Like, before there were just any rules, there would have been three. Cyberjar, that's a pretty ridiculous one, because it just wrecks everything and resets it. It destroys all monsters on the field when it's flipped up. Both players pick up five cards and any level four or lower monsters among them they special summon.
Was that it? I'm mixing that up in Morphing Jar.
Morphing Jar discards all cards from both players' hands and you draw five cards. Both of you.
Okay.
So that's also pretty crazy because you would, you know, set down your entire hand face down.
That's right.
Put it face down. Your opponent runs into it. They have to discard all their cards, and you're like, huh, I only discard one card, or I don't discard any cards. And then we both draw five. So it could potentially be a huge, resource advantage then there's, you know, just the ones like Harpy's Feather Duster destroys all your opponent's spell and trap cards. Raigeki destroys all your opponent's monsters. And just with no cost on these.
Yeah. question three here. If Fist of the North Star became a reality, one day, crazy kung fu bullshit, which side of the war would you be on? Hokuto Shinken or Nanto Seiken?
Hokuto Shinken, because Ken always wins.
Sure. were there any deaths in the medium that made you really sad, but later come to realize, in hindsight, the reason why you felt bummed over their deaths was because they didn't get enough screen time and showed potentially great characters before they prematurely ate it?
Usually if I feel that way, I just feel that way immediately in the moment.
I think one I kind of always have held on to is the old man from Gantz. I think his name was Honda, eventually they revealed, but most people just refer to him as the old man for a while. And I always remember being really sad about his death, because I was like, oh, he didn't get to do much screen, like, he could have done so much more, and it's super sad that he died, and, you know, like, they had a chance to revive him, too. That still actually gets me really choked up when they had a chance to revive him, but they basically got caught up in the moment and forgot to. But, yeah, in retrospect, it's like, yeah, I think I just wanted more of him because he was, like, a kind of emotional core to that series that wasn't a, like, unlikable dickhead, basically.
Almost everyone in that manga is super unlikable in one way or another. I think that, I forget the secondary protagonist, that was there at the beginning. He's pretty much the closest thing to, like, a good guy in it, honestly.
Yeah, like Keijo or something like that. Mm-hmm. I think those would be able to go with. Five. Am I the only one that thinks that nobody gives a shit about manga compared to anime, i.e. there's far less people that shit on manga than there are to, like, trash weeb shit like anime? No, I mean, I don't think there's anybody that thinks manga gets equal notability to anime. That's sort of like saying, I don't think that, like, radio gets as much publicity as, like, television. You're like, well, yeah, cause there's, like, actual statistics you can look at to show that one's far more accessible and viewed than another, essentially. I think
TV compared to comics. Compared to comics, movie compared to TV, yeah.
Yeah, there's just a lot more people have seen and got into anime in comparison to manga. It's a fact. At least in America, I should say, or clarify, I suppose. Six, if technology advanced to the point that we'd all get cybernetic implants so that we'd all become Chonins from Ultimate Muscle, what would your Chonins... Have either of us
read it? I don't know if you can answer this question.
Yeah, I don't think either of us have read it enough to be able to provide an answer, unfortunately.
I have read some Kinnikuman, but I didn't get to the point where it turned into a straight-up wrestling manga. It was still a parody at the point that I just stopped reading it, so.
Yeah. Seven, how much money would you need to reach a Patreon stretch goal so that you'd be forced against your will to read the other Oh Great manga, The Immortal Tenju Tenge? Well, perhaps that could be an eventual choice for Sadistic September. Even though neither of us have a strong connection to it, it would just make sense to be in there at some point. So,
yeah.
There you go. Thank you for the questions.
All right. We've got more from Kenny Varnes.
Oh, God, though. Yeah. I forgot. There's like a second email.
Dear Chris Reason Larios and Nick Ienokodoku Freeman, I don't know what that's a reference to. I know that I sent a Q&A email already right before this, but I'd ask another question. These are all themed around music. Number one, what are some of your favorite guitar gods?
Is that a thing?
Is it referring
to like our favorite guitarists? Just refer to.
I guess.
Oh man. I mean, I like a lot of the classics, but I don't think there's anybody that, like, really rings to mind. Though I like a lot of music, I generally don't focus too much on individual musicians unless I kind of really like their personality and things like that. And it boils down to I really like Dave Grohl, but he's not a guitarist. I mean, I think he plays guitar, but I know him mostly as a drummer, so.
Mm-hmm. I used to worship at the ground that Dragon Force stood on. Not nearly so enthusiastic about them now, but I still do listen to their music quite a bit. I guess Hendrix, honestly. I know that's just a very, like, standard go-to, but he legitimately was really good. So. Number two, have you ever played any of the fine rhythm games from Bemani, such as DDR, Beatmania, Poppin' Music, etc.? If so, what are some of your favorites from those games? And don't you dare say Butterfly. You know damn well that's a cop-out, even if it is sketchy. Butterfly is certainly not one of my favorites from that. It is a catchy song, but I would not regularly listen to it. I would think that the cop-out would be Sandstorm by Darude. I think that that's everyone's go-to answer for that. Suguru. I like that one.
So I have played a couple of those. I don't know if I've played too much DDR, but I have played a couple of Poppin' Music and just rhythm games in general. So I don't know if this is going to... In my mind, I'm worried because I'm like, this is going to sound super racist, I think. A lot of Japanese pop music just sounds the same to me. So I really don't know the difference between half the songs. I think it's just because I don't know Japanese, so the lyrics are all, like, just words to me. Like, they're just sounds. And it's usually
I think it's all sounds very much the same in terms of how a lot of, you know, just general pop music sounds the same. So.
It's just one of those things where if you're only listening to that, it's a lot of, like, very synth-heavy pop music and things like that, and I just, none of it's very memorable to me. Usually the songs that stick out the most to me are ones that I actually know outside of that. Like, I loved playing We Are in Poppin' Music, the One Piece theme song, essentially. So, that's my favorite. We Are from One Piece.
Okay. Yeah, have you ever listened to any rave music? I'm not talking about that modern EDM crap. I mean the pulse-pounding techno beats you'd hear in beloved soundtracks to movies like Blade and the Matrix, with such subgenres like house, trance, jungle, UK hardcore, and gabber.
I mean, I listened to, like, when Riot's about to start, like, a League of Legends stream or something like that, they usually have a lot of songs play on that I enjoy. I don't know if they fall into that. When you say rave music, my mind immediately went to, well, I like that one Ebenezer Good song by, I think, the Shamans, which is just like a coded song about talking about how ecstasy's awesome. And that song's great, but I don't think that fits into the actual genre that you're trying to refer to.
I always thought at the time the techno music was crap. So sorry to disappoint you. I do like a couple of songs by BT, which, is, I think from this, I think roughly in terms of what you're talking about. But honestly, whenever I think of techno, I just think of that one Strong Bad email where they, where he makes it a techno song. Like all techno music in my mind is just, so.
I like Call On Me.
Is that a techno song? I don't know. Number four, have you ever played Brutal Legend? And if so, are your favorite songs from the soundtrack? And are you part of that subset of players who love the music way more than they did the actual game? I think a lot of people actually feel that way about it. Because what I understand, it was not a particularly spectacular game. It was just, you know, like, I had a fun main character and had a bunch of great music. So
I never played it. I think I tried playing the demo and it really bored me, so I just never played it.
Have you ever heard of arguably the best Japanese band ever, X Japan? Yes. I think that at one point I tried, I was like, I should listen to more of their stuff, and then I didn't. So.
Yes, I've heard of them. Actually, just now when you mentioned them in the question, that's the first time I've heard of them, but I have heard of them. So
clever.
I'm very witty. I'm going to start, Nick, I'm getting into improv. I'm going to start up an improv group in Central Pennsylvania. You'll Skype in for it because you're my only friend. And then I'll find two other random people to fill in the rest.
Number six, have you ever heard of the anime cover bands Animetal or Animetal USA? Yes, I have. In fact, I have Animetal USA like in the music that I play in my car all the time. I can't remember when it happened, but there was one time when I was getting set to game with Mecha GM's group one or two years ago, and I linked everyone the music video to their cover of Space Battleship Yamato, and we loved how freaking ridiculously stupid it was, because it was like a very 80s metal tribute song, video rather. So I do really like Animal USA though. I would like Animetal more if they did less fucking Kamen Rider themes, because that's not anime and I don't know any of the songs. And, I'm going to assume you've heard
them. Nope, I have no
Number idea. Seven. May or may not be a stealth suggestion. Have you ever read or watched Detroit Middle City? No, we haven't.
You know what? Emperor DN brought up a thing that doesn't attach itself to any questions, but I want to bring it up because I know about it. I love the Guilty Gear music. That is some.
Okay.
Dope ass music. Chip Zanuck's right. Theme. Love it. Anji.
Okay.
That's another great one. All right. Questions here from Michael Hurt. Hey, Chris, I'm in the middle of this Q&A. Nick, get off me. God damn it. Cause I'm Rolo teeing up in my e-cig broccoli Larios. And Nick, why am I the ruler time? Because I remember time so well. Like the time me, Chris, and others did the Carlton dance in an epic fail for charity. Sadly, a time due to blip closing so you can't remember. So people, only that nostalgia chick people of others doing the Carlton dance, which I wasn't using my ninja skill dance powers, so I'm not as good Freeman. I lost what? That one in the middle. I don't know what happened. Did we? We did Carlton dance, didn't we?
We did a Carlton dance. And then coincidentally, Nostalgic Tig also did have people do the Carlton dance.
Yeah, I'm remembering this now. I also remember one of Justin's videos, I JoJo posed. I don't know if that still exists anywhere or not. I don't know if he actually ever used it in the video.
I think he did, cause he did like a, you can play this on a JoJo game.
Yeah, I think I'm in a collage of people doing JoJo poses in that somewhere. One, I've noticed that this has been a problem in general of shonen manga putting an overemphasis on the main hero. There are some where this is more notably obnoxious, literally everyone's motivation in Black Clover revolving around Asta, but it's creeped into even some really good series like One Piece, My Hero Academia. Do you think there's a way to balance this out since it's such a constant problem, or is it just an element of shonen that is forever tethered to the genre that you just have to deal with?
I mean, you know, your flagship character, your most marketable character is always going to have to be the focus in some regard or another. I mean, but, I think that there is definitely a balance you can strike. You can also go too far in a different direction, like when Naruto made Sasuke the main character for a while. But I definitely see your point. It is unfortunate that, you know, side casts just get abandoned sometimes. We have remarked on it in Bleach. people were concerned about, have been concerned about certain Straw Hats. We made the observation about, you know, the side characters in My Hero Academia. So I definitely see your point, and there is a balance they can strike.
In general, I don't notice that issue in other series. It's an issue on Black Clover just because it happens to be quite literally something that basically every character of importance has noted, like, kind of being motivated by Asta at some point. But that's, I haven't felt that issue the same way in series like One Piece or My Hero. It certainly comes up, but, you know, it also comes up because they're the lead character, so it makes sense for characters to mention, like, their significant ties to that person.
Mm-hmm.
Two, as the time of writing this video, I noticed Lewis/Ankara has been making new I Am a Man t-shirts that tie into his Atop the Fourth Wall series. If there were to be t-shirts made for WMR, what tagline/funny comedic zinger/running jokes would you guys want on there for people to buy for some price?
I mean, unfortunately, I'm not sure if we could get away with Unohana's dead and never coming back, considering it references a copyrighted character.
Oh, fuck that. You know how many websites out there just take, like, random fucking shit that exists on and they don't own, just make t-shirts out of it? But Shonen Jump, is Kubo gonna stop us?
Probably not.
Yeah. It'd probably be, like, something like that and be like, I don't know, like a joke, like, I don't know, I might go on a slight tangent here.
We've got to be funny on call, Chris, damn it.
Well, it's just like, I'm trying to think of a way to phrase it, like, let's go on a quick tangent here, or the manga podcast, 20% wrestling references, 20% fucking old 90s cartoon references. And eventually it gets to, like, 5% actual manga discussion or something. Yeah, things like that probably would attach it to it. Grammy turns out to be a brain in a jar. Or it's just like, isn't that like part of the t-shirt thing too? Is sometimes it's just like the fucking thing. So wouldn't it just be like, what the fuck, Spider-Man? Or Remy is a brain in a jar with like 8 exclamation points. And three, also at the time of this recording, Tarko recently finished up to, which was pointed out as one of the original
series.
It
feels like forever ago, doesn't it?
Which made me curious. If you guys could remember what your 2000 cells were like at the time, do you think when you started WMR that of the four series, as obviously even then it'd be obvious One Piece would still be going on, that the order of them ending would be Bakuman, Naruto, Bleach, and Toriko, or would you have thought differently a half decade back? I mean, that kind of makes
actually,
a lot of sense.
Actually, that sounds kind of about right, honestly.
Because it's not as though Naruto and Bleach abruptly ended. You know, Naruto was leading to that final arc, and Bleach, even though the actual end itself was abrupt, it was in its final arc as well. Like, it had kind of been leading to that point for a while now. So, neither of those are particularly surprising.
Bakuman ending first, makes the most sense, because, you know, their first series didn't go especially long. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, the order of Naruto, Bleach, and Toriko, honestly, yeah, that makes sense. I would think, I assume that I would be surprised to learn how soon Toriko ended. Yeah. But, you know, just in terms of the fact that they were three big shonen series, Naruto was, at that time, seemed to be the closest ending, and then you would think that Bleach would, and then Toriko. And then, yes, One Piece would keep on going, because come on!
All right, wrap this up with the next couple, I think.
Yeah, we'll do maybe one or two more. I don't think we can end it on this one because it's more for Michael Hurt, but maybe the next one. All right. Hey, Chris, I podcast all night. I podcast all day, yeah, and now you got me rolling side to side.
It must be a reference to a song.
I don't know what song that is.
Yeah.
And Nick,
you guys gotta put in more Pat Benatar song references. I don't get these, okay?
Royalty and we will be invincible. There you go.
Yeah.
And Nick, why am I the ruler of time? Well, if the Bee Movie and the freaking Nut Shack can become a meme, why can't me being the ruler of time be one as well? Seriously, audience, make that happen. here are some questions for you. Number one, as of the time of this writing, there's recently been a death battle between Zoro and Urza, where thankfully not even Urza's BS friendship powers were able to take down Zoro's superior skills. Is there a match of the various manga series that you've read? The third time this question's come up in this Q&A session.
This is very much a tangent. But something very funny happened. I don't know if I ever mentioned it on the podcast, but at one point in time, came in, very foolishly, revealed to me, like, we did a Facebook invite, and I was looking through his photos, and I found one photo that is infinitely hilarious to me, where he had, I guess he was like 18 at the time, he made himself look like a Navi from fucking, Avatar. And it's the lamest photo in existence, and I quickly saved it on my computer before we could delete it. And I just recently changed that to be the channel icon on our Discord. So I'm laughing just because I just saw a message from Cayman that's like, fucking fuck you, Chris, you fuck! And I'm sending it to you, Nick, so you can have the picture too.
Well, this is never going to die now.
No, I refuse to link it. It's not to share to everybody.
Oh,
it's
God.
From my personal to take this game in, essentially.
Oh, God. That's like 8 times worse than that Chinese app that was going around a couple months ago.
The thing that's funny, though, it's essentially like you made, like we captured like his, I don't, maybe he didn't have one, but like the emo, like, angst phase that Tony would have. It's like a captured piece of that that we just have.
Yeah, that kind of phase of your life that you would prefer people not remember. Yeah.
Oh, we should make it a page.
As far as you guys know, I began life at 19 when I started writing, making videos.
Exactly, yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Is there a matchup in the various manga series you read/have read in the past that you would like to see happen in that format? I think we answered this question basically when talking about this subject earlier. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Number 2, I've noticed, especially recently, the quality of Nick's microphone seems to dip quite often and sometimes cuts off. That's because of the Discord. We fixed it. Okay, cool. Number 3, admittedly, I am not really a fan of wrestling in the slightest, as a lot of what I know about it is pretty much just what I heard from other podcasters/video reviewers, like that time Linkar and Spoonie covered that terrible 4-part Ultimate Warrior comic series, which massively rewritten, and had someone with actual talent and passion to it. Do you think something like that of the Ultimate Warrior and other wrestlers making their way to the terrain of Testament to fight Demon's Natural Plane while evil spirits try taking over their body in the real world could actually be a decent Nagus? Okay, if you base anything on the WWE, it can't be... There can never be, like, non-ironic... You could legitimately enjoy it, but you will also ironically enjoy it. Like, the WWE is too ridiculous to take seriously in that kind of medium, I think.
You'd have to play the whole concept of the terrain and testament and everything like that so ludicrously that you can't take it seriously. You can't make it try to be something where it's like, this is so cool and awesome. It has to be like Pacific Rim, where you're like, this is so fucking stupid. It's funny. Like, it's so, I don't know why he's wielding the boat as a sword.
Sink up to me!
That boat would fall apart. It wouldn't function as a sword, but it's still cool. It's just dumb enough to work. All right, and I think we might make maybe this the last one.
I think that's about right.
Yeah, so we'll make this next one the last one. So this is from... I scrolled up and set it down. Yeah, I'll just put Nalf, because that doesn't sound like a real person's name, so I don't think they'd be interested. Hi, Nick. Asta inspired me to make amends time, and Chris generated my subconscious mind to replace the girl I watched die tea. Oh, my God. Mine seems so dark. Which was worse? Fairy Tail having a character from its 0 chapters around for a little bit whose nature was kind of confusing and didn't serve much purpose besides rewarding those who read the 0 series, or Black Clover introducing 3 characters from a light novel who apparently have a really big important backstories in it and having them suddenly be really important to the plot that is going on right now?
I found Black Clovers to be far more annoying.
It is. It's monumentally so, and don't get me wrong, I'm not crazy about the Fairy Tail one, but at least the Fairy Tail one's awarding something in the same medium, like, and it wasn't, the entire cast didn't stop to turn around to Zavala or whatever her name was, and be like, wow, who are you? Tell us your story, which they kind of had to do with Black Clover. She was there for like 3 chapters, and if you didn't know who she was, it was confusing, but it was done. And again, though,
plus, like, I feel like she actually contributed a lot more to what happened in that than Fanzel and company did. Like, Fanzel was literally just there so that they could say, like, he was our teacher, and he knew us, and so he left the Diamond Kingdom. Yeah. Did he, like, do anything in the fight? No. Not really.
I don't even know what the other two even did. I've kind of forgotten.
One was, like, an assassin type of character, and the other was Fanzel's...
wife.
Wife?
Yeah,
I guess wife, yes.
Yeah, his wife.
Whereas, you know, when, you know, like, it was Zara, right? That was her name, I think?
Something with a Z, I can't remember.
I think it was Zara. You know, she basically coordinated the guild to get back together and told them that everything was going to be all right, and then she left.
Yeah.
You know? Did something kind of important and then left.
And you didn't need that much context to understand the basic idea of what she was doing. Like,
right. There was no heavy backstory. It was to the point where it felt like the Zero chapters were still optional.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think the fairy tale one is significantly more acceptable of the two.
Mm-hmm. And I am glad that we had a few months after that question was sent in to consider that, because we got to the point where basically this arc is concluded.
Yeah.
So we can say with certainty.
All right. So okay. We finished up there. We're almost done with 2016, so. But I looked at how many questions we have left in 2016, and that's not the case.
Yeah, but we got, good stuff.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, everybody, for sending your questions, and even though we are, you know, we're not even in 2017 yet, still don't let that dissuade you from sending in your questions. We will get to them, just, you know, understand if you're sending in, it's
we'll
not
just always be behind, which is fine.
Because, that's good. It means we have questions to get to. So, and these are always ones that are really enjoyable to do, the Q&As.
Yeah. And, we get to ask you guys questions too, of course. If you have an answer for us, be sure to just send that and make sure that you include something like answer in the subject line.
Yes.
And, that's going to do it. Thank you, everybody.
All right. Now I'm going to have to leave so Cayman can shout at me for fucking using this photo as the Discord icon. That shit. Still makes me laugh.
I guarantee you that it is not as wonderful, that it is even more wonderful than what you're imagining, guys. Like, trust me.
I can't describe. It's good Photoshop and awful Photoshop at the same time. Like, it's too good to be like, well, that's just cheesy, but it's so bad that you can't be like, what an amazing Photoshop. This is hilarious to me. I can't. Goodbye, everybody.